From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep. Today, Israeli soldiers shot and killed four Palestinians in separate incidents in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The dead include two members of the militant Hamas faction and also a teenager. NPR's Peter Kenyon is following all these developments and joins us now. Peter, let's start here with today's violence. What happened today?
Well, in the West Bank, in the city of Tulkarm, witnesses there, Palestinian witnesses, said Israeli forces were on patrol and fired into a crowd of Palestinians who were throwing stones at them. A Palestinian teenager was killed. The army said there were also gunshots and Molotov cocktails coming from that crowd in addition to stones. But most of the deaths today came in the Rafah refugee camp in the southern Gaza Strip along the border with Egypt. The army's been in there for over a week now in an extended operation. They say they're trying to uncover and destroy tunnels the military believes are used to smuggle weapons in from Egypt to the armed Palestinian factions. What happened today, according to Palestinian witnesses and an Israeli military source, is that a local commander of the Hamas military wing and an accomplice tried to lay a bomb intended for Israeli soldiers. Troops spotted the men and opened fire, killing them. The army says troops opened fire again when a second group came to retrieve the explosives. One of the dead was a woman bystander, according to Palestinian doctors. Also, at least 16 Palestinians injured. I should say, as this operation has gone on, the army has destroyed more than 100 Palestinian homes, and the United Nations estimates more than 1,200 Palestinians are now homeless there.
Peter, I'm interested to hear you say that that these Palestinians were allegedly trying to lay a bomb in the road for Israeli troops, because that was the same way that three Americans were killed several days ago, according to your reporting. It appeared that there was a bomb, that was there was a hole dug in the road for a bomb.
That's right, and I did see that crater, and these three Americans are dead, and a fourth is wounded, and the FBI is in the region now doing an investigation. For fairly obvious security reasons, their movements are not being widely shared. We do know that FBI officials have now met with security folks on both the Israeli and Palestinian sides, and a senior U.S. official is quoted as saying, there has been some Palestinian cooperation, but the U.S. would like to see more. Now, the only claim of responsibility is from this rather amorphous group known as the Popular Resistance Committee. It's basically made up of disaffected members of other groups. Palestinian security forces have made some arrests among that committee, but there's really no information yet as to whether those folks were involved in the bombing or have any critical information to share.
Now, I know that Israelis are trying to figure out their next move here. Has there been any more talk of expelling Yasser Arafat as they try to gain the upper hand in this situation?
The latest signal came from Prime Minister Ariel Sharon of Israel, and his preference is not to do that. At least that's what he told the Jerusalem Post yesterday. He said his calculations for many years now have showed that expelling Arafat would not be in Israel's best interests. Every time there's a bombing or some other kind of attack, the Sharon government blames Arafat first, and the right wing in the cabinet resumes this drumbeat for expulsion, or occasionally worse. The deputy prime minister not long ago mentioned killing Arafat as a possibility. But the pressure from Washington, when it does come these days, focuses on things just like that. Don't destabilize the situation further with what some see as a potentially rash move like taking Arafat out of the picture. Sharon's comments to this English-language Israeli paper yesterday, I think, are a signal that he understands that message.
So Arafat stays, at least for now, but does that mean that the peace process can move forward in any way?
I think, on the contrary, the assessment of analysts and politicians I'm talking to here on both sides is that, for the moment, Washington's focused on Iraq and the coming election campaign, very little appetite for forcing the diplomatic process to restart. The feeling here is, so long as Sharon doesn't let the situation spiral out of control, he won't get much heat from Washington.
NPR's Peter Kenyon is in Jerusalem. Peter, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.